Welcome to today's special edition of Go Beyond with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, be sure to come and visit us. For more information about our ministry, please feel free to visit our website at www.judahministries.net. Here's Pastor Michael.
So in the last message we spoke about Revelation chapter 13, and we only looked at the first two verses. And we went into the book of Daniel, because Daniel chapter 7 and the book of Revelation chapter 13 are simpatico. So we kind of went back into Daniel and did an expository teaching through there, and we saw how it defined Revelation chapter 13. So just to review our definitions quickly from the last message, I have a slide for this first one. The dragon, we're defining, is Satan, as we're reading through these scriptures. Number two, the beast is the Antichrist, and it's also referred to as the world system, depending on the context of the passage. And number three, we'll read through the book of Revelation, not only in 13, but on. We'll see the other beast. It's sometimes referred to the second beast. This is the false prophet or a religious leader. In the coming end days, there will be a false prophet. So that is the unholy trinity. In other words, there will be two humans and one spirit. Are you following me? So the Antichrist is a person that will be on this earth. The false prophet is a person who will be on this earth. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we talked about the leopard, and here are the definitions up here. The leopard, the bear, and the lion, it's paralleled to Daniel chapter 7, which we looked at, which signifies the three world kingdoms, which was the Babylonian kingdom, followed by the Medo-Persian kingdom, followed by the lion, which was the Greek Empire. And then we see the monstrous beast is the Roman Empire. And we follow this through the book of Daniel, who prophesied this while he was in captivity. But history proves out that all of these kingdoms existed just as Daniel wrote some 2,600 years ago. Now, the fourth beast is the one that is going to come out of the sea in Revelation chapter 13. It's the monstrous beast, and it's also once again written about in Daniel chapter 7. This is the Roman Empire, which never ceased to exist. It has always existed in the 5th century. It just transformed from a political empire to a religious empire. Now, if you're familiar with a little bit of history, you might be familiar with the name Constantine. It was all under Constantine when that transformation took place. Now, Constantine, people get somewhat excited because he made Christianity the national religion, if you will, but how many of you know when you do that, he brought all the paganism into the church? And how many of you know a lot of that paganism still in the church today, you know, 1,500 years later? So that's how that all played out. But the Roman Empire never ceased to exist. It just went from a political military empire to a religious empire. The fourth and final beast will be this revived Roman Empire in the last days, with the Antichrist and the false prophet at the helm, and Satan himself behind the scenes pulling the strings. This final empire, once again, is just a review from last message, that does not have to have its headquarters in Europe or Rome. It could be anywhere. It could be in Turkey. It could be anywhere, because we saw that the Roman Empire was quite large. So one last comment before we jump into Revelation 13, as I've stated throughout this teaching, saints of God, one cannot be dogmatic about some of the interpretations of this book. Now, I will present my case from the results of my study and my research, my prayer, and then you are welcome to agree or disagree with some of my positions. These are not major doctrinal deal breakers. Can I have an amen, somebody? So there are a lot of mysteries, as the Bible refers to them, throughout the Bible. However, this should never, ever dissuade us from prophetic study. It should hopefully provoke us to study even more so. Amen? Now, I like to use the analogy of a puzzle. Now, if you've been coming to Judah for a bit, you might know the answer to this question. What is the most important part of a puzzle? Say it, Jack. It's the outside of the box. Because if you can't see the picture, you have no idea how the puzzle goes together. So my duty, my job, my mission is to paint this outside of the box so you could see the picture of the end times, what it's going to look like. The Bible gives it to us. So now when you go back and you read in Zechariah, or you read Isaiah, you read Jeremiah, you read Ezekiel, you read the pieces of the puzzle, you see how they fit into the big picture. Make sense? Amen. Amen. So that's what we're doing here today. So here we go. Revelation chapter 13, right at the top, verse 1. The Bible says, the dragon, the devil, stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast, this is the fourth kingdom, coming up out of the sea. The sea always represents turmoil or chaos. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horn, and on each head, a blasphemous name. Let me just pause there. We will decipher all of that when we get to Revelation chapter 17 about the seven heads and so on. Verse 2, the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon, meaning Satan, gave the beast, who is the Antichrist, its power and his throne and great authority. Verse 3, one of the heads seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshiped the dragon, Satan, because he had given authority to the Antichrist, the false prophet, or I'm sorry, the Antichrist, the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? They just stole that scripture right out of the book, didn't they? Who is like the Lord? Huh? Who is like the beast, and who can wage war against it? So just a very quick comment. Once again, this is a little bit of a review. The leopard, the lion, the bear represent the three kingdoms, Babylon, Medo, Persian, and the Greek. The revised Roman Empire is the fourth and final beast and will have all the attributes that the three kingdoms had. In other words, this final beast that will appear on the earth will be quick, it will be brutal, it will be ruthless. Verse 5, the Bible says, the beast, who is the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months or 3.5 years or a time, times and a half a time, 1260 days. The Bible uses terminology to define, but it's 3.5 years. Verse 6 says, it opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. We're going to be living in heaven, amen? Amen. So he could slander us all he wants. Have at it. Verse 7, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them, and it was given authority over every tribe, every people, every language, and every nation, not just the Jews, over the whole world. Verse 8, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. And I know you know who the Lamb of God is. It's Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad today? Come on, somebody in the house. Aren't you glad today that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Now, if it is not, and you're watching by this broadcast, or if you're in this house, we will certainly give you the opportunity to have your name written there today. Verse 9, whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone goes into captivity, they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. So verses 9 and 10 clearly, church, clearly speak of God's sovereignty, speaks of his foreknowledge, it speaks of his predestination. God's holy people that are on the earth at that time, they are predestined to suffer severe persecution such as the world has never seen. And how many of you know we are already witnessing a sharp increase in anti-Semitism and anti-Christ, anti-church, that spirit attacking churches and synagogues around the world today? It's global. I don't know how many of you seen the recent incident in New York City where a bunch of Muslims went to a synagogue and they laid out their prayer mats and they began to pray to Allah in front of a Jewish synagogue, just trying to antagonize them. Are you hearing me, somebody in the house? So it's on the rise throughout the earth. We just heard that in Uganda, a pastor and his wife, they were kidnapped, so to speak, on motorbikes, and they killed the evangelist, the pastor. Up in India, some of you saw on our prayer request, we have a pastor friend in India, and his family lives in a northeastern state there, and they just killed three pastors there. They're killing the Christians. Are you hearing me? They're not killing Muslims. They're not killing sheikhs. They're not killing imams. No, no. They're killing Christians. They're killing the Jews. And we know this to be true because it's written to us in the Word of God. Now, there's a ministry called Open Doors Ministry, and they track Christian persecution around the world. And they report that in 2026, just 5 months we've been into this year, persecution has risen sharply to nearly, listen to this number, nearly 400 million Christians around the world are under severe persecution. The top two offenders are, number one, obviously North Korea, but number two might surprise you a little bit. It's Somalia. Somalians hate Christians. Are you hearing me, somebody? Also, nine of the top most dangerous countries for Christians are majority Muslim nations, not to speak of the global anti-Semitism there as well. But here's my question. Where's the outcry in the media for their human rights? Crickets. You hear nothing. But as soon as a Muslim gets killed, everybody is in an uprise all around the world. But they slaughter Jews. They slaughter Christians. You hear nothing. Their silence is deafening. So in many ways, we can see the pot of water starting to boil and the persecution is going to increase in frequency and intensity as well. Now, in my opinion, this is my opinion, by this time of the tribulation period, because remember we're reading about in Revelation 13, which is about halfway through the tribulation period, I believe that we, the church, will be harpazo. The church will be out of here. Come on, somebody. How many are looking for that day? Listen, when you read in Revelation, the book of Revelation, in verses or chapters 2 and 3, I think the Bible mentions the church or the ecclesia 19 different times. But from chapter 6 all the way through chapter 19, the ecclesia is not mentioned one time. It is conspicuously gone. Why? Because we're in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So however, the beast will make war against God's people that are still on earth and will conquer them. Because remember the 144,000 that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 7, I believe, the 144,000 are out evangelizing and preaching the gospel. They're still on the earth at this time. But then in chapter 14, we see them around the throne. So at this time, the Antichrist is going to turn on everybody who is preaching the gospel. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. It says, I saw another beast, this is the false prophet, rising out of the earth. This beast had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. And this beast exercised all the authority of the first beast and caused the earth and those to dwell in it to worship the Antichrist, the first beast, whose mortal wound had been healed. Verse 13. And the second beast, or the false prophet, performed great signs to cause even fire from heaven to come down to earth in presence of the people. In other words, it's a counterfeit Elijah. Remember, Elijah called fire down. Verse 14. Watch this. Because of the signs it was given to perform on behalf of the beast, it deceived. Let me say it again. Because of the signs, it deceived those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image to the beast that had been wounded by the sword and yet had lived. The second beast was permitted to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship it to be killed. This is not like a real motivating message this morning. Are you with me though? But it's the truth of the word of God. Can somebody help me say amen? Amen. I would be remiss of my duty not to preach this. Now, most of you here today are well aware of AI. Amen? You're well aware of it and all the technology that's available today. Listen, that's what we know about. You know, a lot of military experts will tell you that what's available to the general public is about 20 years behind our government and what the military truly have as a far as a part of intelligence and technology. Having said that, how many of you know that we already have inanimate objects speaking to us? Come on, help me, somebody. Siri, what's the weather going to be like? You pull out your phone. Hey, I need directions to so-and-so. Make the next, your inanimate object is speaking. Are you all with me? Alexa, play this song. We're already speaking. Listen, saints of God, this is written 2,000 years ago about an inanimate object speaking. Here's what I'm telling you. We are living in that generation. Come on, somebody. Just 30 years ago, we would have said that's crazy talk to have a device talk back to you. You would have thought that was crazy talk. Now, I know we got some seasoned saints. How many of you remember the old encyclopedia salesman coming to your door? My brother still got them. Here's the question, though. Albert, do you still use them? No. But they look good, huh? But that's the thing. You know, it used to be, it's like, I can remember having to do a book report in school. You know, we had a set of Britannica encyclopedias. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? You had to go dig out those books and research and, you know, but the benefit of that is what you learned a whole lot more than what you were studying. Today, it's micromanaged. You just ask it one specific thing and you have an answer just like that. So 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you would have thought that was crazy. Today, the info that is available in our electronic devices or in our phones is staggering. It's staggering. They say that we have more computer technology in our phone than they had when they sent the Apollo in 1969 to the moon. I mean, that's incredible. I'm saying this, church. We are in that generation that Jesus is about to return. Are you hearing me? We're in that generation. We could see these things coming to pass. So it's not a hard jump to witness some type of an idol or an image speaking as the Antichrist. Now, this fatal wound that we read in verse 3 as well as in verse 14, there's a couple of different schools of thought. I'm going to present two that are most likely. One is that one of the nations, or even a revised Roman Empire, is decimated and miraculously resurrected. The Roman Empire actually engaged in a civil war way back in the first century, and it did miraculously survive and still survives today religiously. However, in the last days, not only will it operate religiously, but it will operate politically and militarily. So the Antichrist, or the government, and the false prophet, they will be joined together. So that's kind of the first school of thought, that one of these nations is going to receive a fatal wound. Personally, I'm not in that camp. I'm with this thought. This fatal wound is that the Antichrist himself is actually mortally wounded, but seemingly he rises from the dead as a counterfeit Jesus Christ. This is the position where I lean to. Now, you know, if you're on social media, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, all these, you know, when President Trump got shot in the ear in Butler, he must be the Antichrist. That's a fatal wound. Come on. First of all, it wasn't a fatal wound. Come on. Secondly, he did not rise from the dead. Are you hearing me? Thirdly, we're not in the tribulation period yet. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
So you know our word, right? When people come out with that nonsense, they look them in the eye, ignoramus, right? It's just revealing their ignorance of the word of God. Come on, somebody help me here this morning. This miracle would certainly solidify the power and the authority of this human being, this Antichrist, who will be ruling the end time empire. Also, in verse 11, we see this false prophet, the Lamb, is a Christ imposter, one who looks like Christ. He will perform great signs and wonders just like Jesus did and just like the Old Testament prophets. And he will deceive the multitudes. How? With signs and wonders. The deception is going to be so great that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, he says, if the days were not shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. Are you hearing me, somebody, this morning? There's going to be such great deception in this world. And listen, this what we're seeing today is just a warm-up because we're not in the tribulation period. Now, let me drop something right here. I need to make myself unequivocal. I need to be very clear right here. I absolutely, as a believer in Christ, born again, I believe in miracles. I believe in signs and wonders. I've seen them. Praise God, I am a miracle. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? So I believe in signs and wonders, but much of what goes on in the church today is performative Christianity. It's nothing but show. Come on, talk to me, somebody in the house. It's nothing but show. So please do not be led or chase signs and wonders. Sadly, there are many, many Christians that will travel all over the place just to go to a miracle service. But yet you call time for prayer and a handful of people show up. No tomatoes coming my way. Are you hearing me, church? Furthermore, the Bible says, watch this now. If you're a believer, here's what it says. The signs and wonders will follow you. So you should be able to walk and live your life. And you should be able to look at the past week, the past year, the past 5 years. You should be able to see signs and wonders. Somebody should have gotten saved by your testimony along the way. Are you hearing me? Jesus said that he would give us living water and it shall flow out from us, that we could spread the word of God. So we don't need to chase signs and wonders. Signs and wonders should be following us. Are you hearing me? Listen, Judah, it's why it's paramount that we stay to the word, stay to the truth. If you love and follow the truth according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we will not be deceived. As I encourage you all the time, please don't take my word that's coming across this pulpit. Be a Berean. Study the word for yourself. You will not stand before Jesus one day, oh, that's what Pastor Mike said. No, no, no. You've got to know it for yourself. Let's move on. Verse 16 says, and the second beast, the false prophet, and all people, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. He required them to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. So this passage is the introduction of the one world currency into the earth. It will be implemented by the false prophet, not the Antichrist. The church is going to play a big part. The false church, let me put it that way, is going to play a big part of end time prophecy. Remember, there's going to be a one world government, a one world church, and a one world currency. And nobody will be exempt. It says rich, poor, great, small. It doesn't matter. Everybody will be a part of it. Now, not so long ago, in preaching these types of messages, I used to say that we are well on our way with modern technology and computers and so forth. But today, but now, I say we're here. It's not in the future, church. We are living in that day. It's already being implemented in certain places around the world. And a prime example is China with their social scoring system. If you're a good citizen, you get all the benefits of the government. You could go to the stores. You could ride their public transport. But if you should post something that is anti-communism, or if you post something that you say you love Jesus, well, they're just going to lower your social credit score, and then you're not going to be able to take public transportation, your children won't be going to school, and they use facial recognition to track everybody. This is already being used in the world. It's not coming, it's here. If you're familiar with ESG, it's a corporate scoring system, environmental, social, and governance, ESG. In other words, if you're a company, you have an ESG score. If you're good environmental, you know, you don't leave too much of a carbon footprint, your, you know, score goes up. But if you're using cars and you're flying jets around, well, your score goes down. The social part of that, if you're bowing at the altar of the rainbow, come on, did you hear me? Your score goes up. But if you come out against the rainbow community, well, then your score goes down. This is already being used around the world today. So church, listen, we're seeing it. It's not that it's coming, it's here. We now have, for the first time in history, we now have the technology to micromanage every human on earth. The technology is here. Now, in verse 16, it states that all people, somebody say all people, will be required to receive a mark on either their right hand or their forehead. Let me give you some examples that can make this possible today. I came with some receipts. Somebody say amen. Amen. Please put up my first slide here. Here is a picture of an RFID chip. It's small, if you could see it, it's small as a grain of rice and can easily be placed in the webbing of your hand. Many of you are familiar with the RFID chip. This ID method is already being used, and your pet probably even has one. If you got them at the shelter or something, they automatically put in there so they could, you could identify your animal. Here's an article about a company that is already using this technology for its employees. Now, this is from 2017. This is almost a decade ago. Watch this. Employees of Three Square Market, a vending machine technology company in River Falls, Wisconsin, won't have to worry about forgetting their employee ID cards at home anymore. Starting next month, this is almost 10 years ago, a voluntary program will offer company employees the chance to get an RFID chip implanted in their hand. This method of ID is not only being used in corporate America, church, but it's also being introduced into schools around the country and for security reasons. Now, who doesn't want good security? It sounds good. It's an easy sell. Next slide, please. You might not be familiar with this. This is an RFID tattoo. Now, let me show you another technological advancement that you may not be aware of this. These tattoos can carry the same information as an RFID chip. This article by Dr. Curtis Ward reads in part, Somark Innovations has successfully developed a chipless biocompatible RFID and has tested its product on cattle and laboratory rats. Using micro needles and an ink capsule, the skin is tattooed with an invisible ink. Although the tattoo can't be seen by the human eye, it can presently be detected as far as 4 feet away. It takes a mere 5 to 10 seconds to stamp or tattoo an animal, and the ink remains in the skin. This is a decade ago. This is technology that's 10 years old. We now have the technology, church, to place all of our personal information into ink. And these tattoos can either be visible or invisible. For those who like body art or whatever, you like tats, you can proudly sport the mark of the beast on your right hand or on your forehead if you like. With this tattoo, now watch this, a 3-digital country code is included with your personal ID. For example, 840 is the official isonumeric country code for the USA. 840. Now, who's to say that the world government, the New World Order, won't have the number 666, thus signifying that you are a citizen of the end time beast? I'm just saying, let them who has an ear hear what the Spirit of God is saying. This chip or this ink can contain all your personal information, including your medical information, your employment information, your banking information. Therefore, there will be no need to carry a piece of plastic or a card that can be stolen. This will also prevent EBT fraud. Well, talk to me, somebody in the house of the Lord. You know that's fraud, right? Well, don't act like you don't know what goes on. People get their EBT card, they have $100 on it, but they sell it for $50 to get the cash so they talk to me, somebody. Does it go on? All right, so now if you have that in your hand, are you going to what, give up your hand? You won't be able to do it. You can't sell them your hand, let alone cut off your head for it. So do you see all the fraud that this could eliminate throughout the world? So listen, church, this will be an easy sell to the general public. Who doesn't want banking security? Everybody does. If you've ever been hacked before, anybody ever been hacked, have your credit card? It's a pain. I've been hacked, my wife has been hacked. You could see how selling this microchip to the general public for security will be very, very attractive. It could even stop internet fraud. Looks like a great idea, does it not? Sounds good. Sounds too good to be true. Let me give you a third technology. I told you I'm coming with receipts. Here's a company called Clear. Maybe some of you are familiar with Clear. They used to have their advertisements on television all the time promoting the ease of iris and RFID. And you can Google Clear and look what they offer today. They are on the leading edge of biometric technology, and it's already being used. This isn't about the future, saints of God. This is right now. This is today. Here's an excerpt out of a Traveler magazine by Catherine LeGrave, 219, a little more current. We use biometrics to do that ID check, but up until now, we've also scanned your boarding pass. Clear president and co-founder Ken McCormick told Condé Nast Traveler exclusively, now we've actually combined those two steps into one. So you are either using your fingerprints or your iris, and we are identifying you and pulling your boarding pass information in real time. It's really cutting the steps by 50%. From that perspective. It's the first of its kind technology to do that. So listen, saints, this is not just being used at airports, because if you've ever flown recently, how many of you know going through security is a pain in the backside? It's just a pain trying to go through the security. We see Clear, it can clear you in 5 seconds. It will clear you. We see this being used in schools, in stadiums, theme parks, government offices. When recently, when we just came back, this astounded me actually. When we just recently came back from Africa, we came in through Canada, so we came in through Montreal. So you go up to the counter where you have to go through immigration. They do it in Canada before you come into the U.S. So I walk up to the counter, you know, and I'm fumbling and getting all my documents together because I know they're going to ask him. He goes, okay, look right here. I looked at the thing. He said, welcome, Mike. We'll go through. They already had me in their system. I had to say nothing. It was shocking to me. And I'm very familiar with all this stuff. But when you're seeing it implemented in real time, are you tracking with me, somebody? When you see it tracking in real time, the Bible says, watch this, watch. The mark's either going to be in your right hand or where? Your forehead. Here's a question. Where are your eyes located? They're not in the back of your head. Sometimes I think people have eyes in the back of the head, but y'all following with me here, right? The mark is going to be on your hand or your forehead. You won't have to have 666 tattooed on your head like it does in the movie. Somebody say amen. With his retinal and iris scan technology, it's a simple transition to link your banking information to your iris ID. They've been using this biometric technology at Disney forever. Church, this is nothing new. We've been groomed for this transition for a one world currency for decades. Let me go to another one. This is from Aldi. How many of you shop at Aldi? You ever shop there? We have Aldi in the U.S. At the Aldi in London, England, this is from 2022, just a couple of years ago. If you have no digital ID, you do not enter the store. You have to have digital ID to get in your store. The trial store allows you to buy items without going through a checkout. You simply scan an app to enter, pick up your items and leave, and the money is automatically taken from your bank account. Is that crazy? Now, once again, in my travels, I forget which airport I was at. I was getting ready to fly and I wanted to get just a little snack and a little bottle of orange juice or something. So I go to this little store, you know how they have them in the airports, and I look and they had a turnstile, two of them, one going in, one going out. So I go to walk in and it's locked. And I'm looking around, I don't see a cash register, I don't see anybody, you know. But there was a young lady walking around that she was the employee. I says, hey, this is locking you up. She says, no, you have to tap your credit card. Get out the credit card, tap my credit card, zip, right into the store. So I'm looking around. I says, well, I mean, where do I check out? She goes, oh, you don't need to worry about that. Just pick up what you need and just leave. Trust me, it came due on my credit card. They didn't miss that part, trust me. I felt like it was weird because I felt like I was stealing something, you know, because you never had that transaction of paying for it. But what I'm saying to you, saints of God, listen, this isn't coming. It's here. Do you see it coming? It's coming. It's coming. I'm not done. I got another one. This is Amazon. If we could have the next slide. This is a little more current. This is Psalm 23. I was just seeing if you were paying attention, y'all. This is from 2023. Amazon, it's called One Palm Payment Technology. Do you see Revelation 13 coming to fruition right before our very eyes? Watch this. It's coming to all 500 plus Whole Foods Market stores in the U.S. As Amazon One, Amazon Web Services Palm Recognition Service for identification, payment, loyalty membership, and entry at over 400 locations across the U.S. reaches a critical milestone with more than 3 million users. This means Whole Foods Market customers who choose to use Amazon One will no longer need their wallet or even a phone to pay. They can simply hover their palm over an Amazon One device. This is written 2,000 years ago. John the Revelator was giving it to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Saints of God, we are living in that day. This is the generation. I have one more for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many of you are familiar with Bitcoin? You're familiar with Bitcoin a little bit. Maybe you've heard of technology. Now this, what I'm going to show you here, this isn't just select stores or select nations attempting this. This is digital currency. Watch what this says. This is of January 2026, just a couple of months ago. Currently, 146 countries, including the USA, are current and currency unions representing over, look at this, over 98% of global gross domestic product are exploring or developing a central bank digital currency. The government will have full control of your finances. This is Revelation 13 in preparation coming to pass right before our very eyes. Because listen, if the government controls your food, they control you. Let him who hath an ear hear what the Spirit of God is saying in these days. Pastor, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to be aware of what time it is, saints of God. The pieces of the puzzle, they're coming together. Jesus said, watch and pray. Keep your head open. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Don't bury your head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. Jesus says, pay attention to the signs of the times. He rebuked the Pharisees. He rebuked the Sadducees. Even though they knew the Graphe, they knew the Torah, they did not recognize the first coming of the Son of Man. And he rebuked them and he called them a wicked generation. I can't speak for you, but I don't want to be a part when Jesus comes and says, oh, did you not recognize the signs? I don't want to be called a wicked generation. No, no, no. I want to hear, well done. My good and faithful servant, enter into the joy. We need to pay attention, saints of God. 98%. I'm saying this, church. Listen. You know, I hear the testimonies about the people. Oh, yeah, I haven't been to church, but I'm saved. Listen, make sure there's oil in your lamp. Don't be a foolish virgin. Make sure that you have oil. Listen, the bridegroom is about to come for his bride. The hour is late. These are the signs. Church, it's high time to put off that lethargic spirit. It's time to set aside the jealousy or the envy or whatever besets you. It's time to get about our Father's business. Oh, come on, somebody put your hands together and give our God a praise in this house. At first, receiving of the mark or the ID, it's going to be voluntary as it is now. As with most of the world, and even sad to say that much of the church is ignorant of the word of God to what is really happening behind the scenes. They will receive these ID chips with gladness. But we as true believers, we as the remnant, we with our eyes open, we know better. Come on, somebody say amen with me there. However, at some point, receiving the mark of the beast will no longer be voluntary. It will be required, as the Bible says. You will be required to denounce Christ. You will be required to worship the beast if you want you and your family to eat. And without it, you will not be able to buy or sell. Meaning, without the mark, you won't be able to go to work. Most businesses already pay with direct deposit. Are you right? Most people in Gen Z, maybe even Gen X, have never even received a paycheck. How many of you remember receiving a paycheck? You got a piece of paper. They don't even do it. It's all digital. If you're a business owner and you love Jesus and you're not willing to bow down to the Antichrist, your business will close. All of your 401ks will be gone. Your pension's gone. Your savings gone. Your cash that you have stored under your mattress. It'll be worthless. Medicare, Social Security gone. Am I talking to somebody in this house today? I know I'm not painting a pretty picture, but I'm just trying to tell you what your Bible says and what's about to come. Draw close to Jesus. So unless you know how, watch this. I would have a hard time here. But unless you know how to hunt, fish, farm, raise animals, grow crops to eat, you're going to starve in this new world order. Because once again, if the government feeds you, they control you. So this mark of the beast will be vital to everyone and anyone's survival on earth. But here's what the Bible says about those who receive the mark. It's in Revelation 14. We're going to jump a chapter here for a minute. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 9, it says this. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone, somebody say anyone, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. Verse 11, and the smoke, listen to this, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever and ever, and there will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Listen, saints of God, this new theology that's being propagated today, annihilism, in other words, after you die, you just disappear. And you know that there's no hell. God would never send people to hell. He's a God of love. He wouldn't do that. That's a lie. Straight from the pit of hell. I think it was Andrea said it earlier. Jesus spoke about more about hell than he did about heaven. If he wasn't so concerned about hell, why would he address the issue of trying to throw somebody a life rope today? It's forever and ever. This new teaching out. Oh, it just depends how bad you were, and that's how long your hell is going to last. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. It's of the spirit of Antichrist. Listen, saints of God, this message is heavy duty. You can see why a lot of pastors and preachers don't like to preach and teach from the book of Revelation, because this is not a feel-good book. Somebody say amen. I'm not here to tickle your ear. Come on, somebody say amen. This is very sobering, saints of God. It's very difficult to teach and preach through this book without confronting sin. You have to confront sin. You have to confront deception. You cannot sidestep judgment. You can't sugarcoat all hell for eternity. However, this is the Word of God. When we first came here 15 years ago, the Lord gave me a mandate out of Ezekiel 36 as a watchman on the wall. He said, if you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, and one soul dies or goes to hell, I'm going to hold their blood to your accountability. I will hold you accountable. So listen, saints, I'm telling you this morning, I'm shouting it from the mountaintops as much as I can. I'm standing on the wall this morning. Listen, there's a sword coming. It's time to get right or to get left, somebody. Jesus is coming back. There's one flight out. There's not two raptures. I can't speak for you, but I want first class on that flight. Are you hearing me, somebody? All right, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. Revelation 13, verse 18. Here is a call for wisdom. Let the one who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And that number is 666. Now, there's much speculation to this number over the years and trying to figure out who this person was. people try to apply all kind of gematria to it, numerology, and this number has been attributed to Titus, to Nero, Hitler. Then they said, you know, in more recent years that it was Mikhail Gorbachev. How many of you remember Mikhail Gorbachev, right? They said it must be him because he has a mark on his head. You know, he must be the Antichrist. Then it was Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666, you know, trying to tie that all together. It's foolishness. In recent years, some, you know, the Obama haters proclaimed he was the Antichrist. Now the Trump haters proclaim that he's the Antichrist, right? Remember, when people make these proclamations, just reveals their ignorance of the word of God. And what's the word we have for them? Ignoramus. Now, in careful reading of this scripture, most translations unfortunately say this, for it is the number of a man. In the original Greek text, the word is anthropos, which means mankind. So it completely changes the meaning of the statement. So reading it in the Greek, it says, for it is the number of mankind. Are you following me? Still tracking with me? So God's perfect number is seven. Six is short of seven. Man was created on the sixth day, so man's number is six, which is always short of seven. Three sixes reveals the unholy Trinity, which we spoke about, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. 666, meaning the coming godless world system or the beast, which will be propagated by man, not by God. And it may be used as the isonumeric country code. Furthermore, the Bible clearly tells us how to identify the Antichrist. Clearly tells us how. Here's how you know who it is. He will set himself up in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. This is known as the abomination that causes desolation. This is eschatology 101. Remember, church, good eschatology corrects bad theology. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you three quick scriptures here and we're done. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, he said, so when, somebody say when. A timestamp, when you see standing where? In the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand. So what passage in Daniel is Jesus referring to? It's Daniel 9:27. Throw that up there for me, please. It says he, meaning the Antichrist or the son of perdition or the little horn, as Daniel refers to him as, he will confirm a covenant with many for seven. And in the middle, here's our terminology again, in the middle, 3.5 years, times and a half a time, 1260 days. Bible uses different terminology there. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offerings. And where? At the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. And we read that in Revelation chapter 19. One more verse and then we'll wrap it up here. Paul further confirms this identity that the Bible's clear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4 says he, Paul is speaking of the man of lawlessness or the Antichrist. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up. Where? In God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So saints, the scriptures are very clear. The Antichrist will be revealed mid-tribulation, not beforehand. So you could cancel all your gematria classes, all your numerology classes, trying to figure out who this person is. Could somebody help me with an amen in there somewhere? The Antichrist will easily be recognized halfway through the tribulation period. So, instead of wasting our time, obsessing over every, trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, let us keep our noses in the book. Let us draw closer to the true and living Christ. Why? Watch this. Because when you know the truth, you will not be deceived by the counterfeit. Bank tellers are trained to identify counterfeit money, not by studying all the counterfeits, by studying the true dollar bill. Forget about trying to study all the, I'm talking to somebody. Try to forget studying all the counterfeits. Study the true word of God and become intimately familiar with the real thing. Church, listen, we already know who the true Christ is. There is no mystery, are you hearing me, concerning who he is. He's already revealed himself clearly through the scriptures and clearly throughout history. Jesus Christ has fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies concerning his first coming alone, prophecies concerning his birth, his ministry, his miracles, his rejection, his crucifixion, his burial, and thank God somebody, he proved it by his bodily resurrection from the dead. There is no other. I'm trying to preach, but my voice is giving me a hard time. Listen, there is no other religious leader in human history that can make that proclamation. Buddha is still in the grave. Confucius is still in the grave. Listen to me. Muhammad, still wearing the grave clothes, brothers. There's only one who's come up from the grave, and I'm here to tell somebody, he is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody. The prophets foretold he would be born of a virgin, born of Bethlehem, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. His hands and feet would be pierced. He would be crucified with sinners. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb. He will rise again on a third day. Let me ask you, Jesus, he completed every one of them. Let me ask you this question. If not Jesus, who? If not Jesus, who? If not trust him today, my question is, when? When will you wait to realize that it's Jesus the Christ? The Antichrist demanded worship through deception. But Jesus Christ alone proved his identity through fulfilled prophecy, sinless living, miraculous power, and victory over death, hell, and the grave. So then, rather than becoming consumed with fear and speculation and numerology or internet conspiracy theories, they abound. Let us be consumed with Jesus Christ. Let us know his voice so clearly that no counterfeit voice can deceive us. Let us stay grounded in the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit and faithful to the end. The goal of the prophecy is not merely to identify the Antichrist, but it's to prepare the bride for the coming of Jesus Christ. The bride is coming. The trumpet's about to sound. Come on, somebody in the house, give our God a praise. Come on and stand with me, please. Maranatha, come Jesus.